Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. And today we're looking at something that I think is going to be really useful for pretty much anyone learning English.
Oh, yeah.
And that is mastering those little expressions, those phrases that, you know, they might seem basic,
yeah,
but they can really make a big difference in how you come across. You know, it's all about the nuances of language.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about things like when to use to versus enough, or how to ask for help in a way that, you know, sounds natural and confident.
Right, right.
And even how to express your mood, you know, with more precision and really convey what you're feeling.
And what's so interesting is that these expressions, they often go unnoticed.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But mastering them, it can really elevate your fluency.
It's like adding those final touches to a painting. You know, you've got the basic outline, but it's these little details that really make it pop.
Exactly.
So why don't we dive right in? Let's start with something that I know trips a lot of people up, and I've definitely been there myself.
Yeah.
It's too and enough.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever found yourself getting those mixed up?
Absolutely. It's a very common mistake. And you know, the distinction, it's subtle, but it's important.
So can you break it down for us? What's the key difference?
Well, to deal implies that there's excess of something.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like there's more than enough, more than is desirable, whereas enough signifies that there's just the right amount or a sufficient amount.
So it's really about that idea of exceeding a limit.
Exactly. You know, think of it like if you have a cup of coffee that's too hot.
Yeah.
It means it's so hot that you can't even drink it.
Yeah.
It's beyond the acceptable temperature.
Right. Like you're shining a spotlight on that excess heat.
Yes. Mm. Exactly. Whereas if you say a room is big enough for a party.
Yeah.
You're simply stating that it meets the requirements. It can accommodate the guests comfortably.
So it's like two is highlighting that something is over the top.
Yes.
And enough is more about just meeting a need or a requirement.
Precisely. And it's also important to remember the position of these words to comes before the adjective or adverb you're modifying.
So like too spicy or too quickly?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But enough usually comes after the adjective or adverb. So you'd say tall enough or quickly enough.
Okay, so the placement really emphasizes the meaning.
It does.
It does. Because before is like saying, this is excessively, overwhelmingly hot.
Yeah.
And with enough, it's more about meeting the requirement. This is sufficiently large.
Precise.
This works perfectly.
And don't forget that enough can also be used with not to indicate insufficiency.
Right.
So you might say, I'm not experienced enough for that job yet.
Yeah.
Or this cake is not sweet enough for my taste.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And you know, it's funny because even though these words are so common, mm-hmm. we often don't think about the subtle ways they can change the meaning of a sentence.
Right.
Now, how about we shift gears a little bit and talk about something that we all need from time to time, and that's asking for help. Yep. I remember when I was first learning English, this was one of the things that I found most difficult.
Really?
Yeah, figuring out the right level of formality, how to be direct, but also polite.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like a real balancing act.
Oh, I can imagine, especially in a new language.
Exactly. So do you have any tips for, you know, for our listeners on how to ask for help effectively in English?
Well, first of all, I would say consider your audience in the situation.
Right.
Are you in a formal setting, like a business meeting?
Yeah.
Or are you talking to friends? The level of formality will influence your choice of words.
That's a good point.
For instance, in a professional setting, you might say, could you please assist me with this project?
Yeah.
But with a friend, a simple, can you give me a hand with this? Would be perfectly fine.
So it's all about being aware of the context.
Yes.
And I guess when you're asking for help, being specific about what you need can also make a big difference.
Absolutely. Instead of just saying, I don't understand, which can be vague, try pinpointing exactly what you're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, could you explain this concept to me?
Right.
Or, I'm having trouble with this part of the task. Could you show me how to do it?
Being specific is definitely helpful. Now, what about declining help?
Oh, yes.
When you're offered it, you know, are there any polite ways to do that? Because sometimes you want to try figuring things out on your own first.
Of course, it's perfectly fine to decline help.
Yeah.
If you want to try figuring things out on your own first, you could say something like, I appreciate the offer, but I'd like to give it a try myself first. If I get stuck, I'll definitely reach out.
That's a good one. It acknowledges their offer.
Yes.
And shows that you value their help even if you don't need it right now.
Exactly.
So we've talked about, you know, navigating the too and enough dilemma and asking for help with grace.
Mm-hmm.
How about we move on to something a bit more expressive, something that can really add a bit punch to our language.
Sounds good to me.
Let's talk about so and such.
Oh, yes, those are good ones.
These are those intensifiers that can make your descriptions way more vivid and exciting. And, you know, I'm sure we've all used them countless times, but have we ever really thought about how they work?
That's true. We probably use them without even thinking about it.
Exactly. So let's break it down. How do we use so effectively?
So is used before adjectives and adverbs.
Okay.
For example, you might say, the movie was so captivating, or he sings so beautifully.
You see how those examples just add that extra oomph? It's like you can almost hear the excitement in your voice when you use so.
Exactly. It emphasizes the intensity.
And then such, that's where we really get to emphasize nouns.
Exactly.
Okay.
Such comes before a noun or an adjective noun combination
Right.
to say, she's such a talented artist, or we had such a wonderful time at the party.
You know, it's funny. I think we often use so and such without even realizing how much they can elevate our descriptions.
Right. They add that extra layer of feeling.
Think about a time when you had a meal that was so delicious,
Oh,
you
yeah.
couldn't stop talking about it.
I know you mean.
Or maybe you met someone with such a contagious laugh that it brightened your whole day.
That's a great example. And remember, so can also be used with much for uncountable nouns
Yeah.
and many for countable nouns.
Right.
You might say, there was so much food at the festival, or I have so many things to do today.
It's all about finding the right fit for the situation. Now that we've got these intensifiers down, how about we move on to expressing moods?
Okay.
After all, being able to express your feelings accurately is a key part of communication.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Let's dive into that.
Right, let's do it.
You know, it's fascinating how many words English has for describing how you're feeling.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just happy or sad.
Right.
You can be excited, frustrated, pensive, even indifferent. Each word paints a slightly different picture.
It's like having a whole palette of emotions to choose from.
Exactly.
And sometimes even a single word isn't enough. We need
Yeah.
something more, you know, more evocative.
Yeah.
And that's where idioms come in,
Right.
right?
Oh, absolutely. Idioms are fantastic for adding that extra layer of color and personality to your language.
It's true.
Instead of just saying you're happy, you could say you're on cloud nine,
Ooh, I like that one.
or that you're walking on sunshine.
Yeah.
It just paints a more vivid picture of your state of mind.
It's like you're not just describing the feeling, but you're almost letting people experience it with you.
Exactly.
And if you're feeling down, instead of just saying sad, you could say you're feeling blue or that you have a case of the
Oh,
Mondays.
yeah, those are classics.
And you know what's interesting is that you can also use different verbs to express your mood.
Oh, that's a good point.
Instead of always saying I feel, you can
Yeah.
try experimenting with other verbs like be or become.
Right.
You could say I am thrilled or she became anxious.
Exactly. It just adds a bit more variety to your language.
It's amazing how flexible English can be.
It is.
You can feel happy, be excited, or even say something makes you feel a certain way.
Precisely. You know, imagine listening to the gentle sounds of rain on a window pane.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that just make you feel a sense of calm wash over you?
It does.
Or think about the excitement you feel when you're about to embark on a new adventure.
Right.
It's all about choosing the words that best capture the nuance of your emotions.
I think a lot of times we get stuck in those basic vocabulary words,
Yeah.
but there's so much more we can do to express ourselves.
Absolutely.
Now, on a slightly different note, are there any other common expressions that you find trip people up?
Oh, absolutely. There are so many, but two that often cause confusion are while and since.
While and since.
These little words, they seem simple enough,
Yeah.
but they can be tricky to master, especially for non-native speakers.
I can see how those two could be confusing.
Yeah.
They both deal with time, but in slightly different ways. Can you break down the key differences for us?
Of course. While is used to talk about things happening at the same time. It's all about simultaneity, for instance. You might say, I like to listen to music while I work. Or she studied while her brother played video games.
So while creates a picture of two things happening in parallel.
Exactly. Since, on the other hand, indicates a starting point in the past.
Okay.
It's like drawing a timeline that starts at a specific moment and continues to the present.
Got it.
For example, you might say, I've been living in this city since 2010.
Yeah.
Or he's been learning English since he was a child.
Okay, so while is for things happening at the same time,
Yes.
and since is for something that started in the past and continues to the present.
Precisely. Think about it this way. While is like taking a snapshot of two actions occurring concurrently.
Oh, okay.
While since is more like a video recording that started at a particular point in time and is still playing.
Those are great analogies.
Yeah.
It's really helpful to think about it visually speaking of things that continue to the present. I think a lot of people struggle with how to express their hopes and dreams, their desires for the future.
Oh, absolutely. Expressing your desires is such an important part of communication.
Yeah, it is.
Whether you're talking about your career goals, your travel aspirations, or simply what you'd like to do this weekend, being able to articulate your desires effectively can open up all sorts of possibilities.
So how do we do that? How do we express our desires in a way that's clear, confident, and engaging?
Well, first of all, don't be afraid to just come out and say what you want.
Mm-hmm.
English offers a range of phrases you can use.
Okay.
Depending on the situation and how strongly you feel about something.
Right.
For a polite approach, you can use, I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
For something more direct, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Works well. And if you're really enthusiastic, I'd love to. Conveys that excitement.
So you've got options.
You do.
And I guess it's also about going beyond simply stating your desire. It's about adding those details that make it come alive.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying, I want to travel, you could say, I'm yearning to explore the ancient ruins of Rome and savor the flavors of authentic Italian cuisine.
Ooh, that sounds lovely.
Or instead of just saying, I want to learn to play the guitar, you could say, I dream of strumming soulful melodies and captivating audiences with my music.
Wow, those examples are so much more compelling.
Yes,
you can
sir.
Really feel the passion behind them. And it's not just about your own desires, right?
No.
Asking others about their hopes and dreams is also a great way to build connections and spark meaningful conversations.
Absolutely. Imagine asking a friend, what's something you've always wanted to do but haven't yet?
Yeah.
Or what are you hoping to accomplish in the next year? Those kinds of questions can lead to fascinating discussions and help you get to know people on a deeper level.
It's amazing how much these seemingly simple expressions can influence our communication.
It really is.
We've covered so much ground today, from navigating the nuances of to versus enough,
mm-hmm.
to adding color to our language with so and such, to expressing our moods with precision, and even articulating our deepest desires.
It's been a truly insightful exploration.
You know, it's really amazing when you think about it.
What's that?
How these tiny little expressions can have such a big impact on how we communicate.
It's true. It's like those small adjustments you make.
Yeah.
That can really fine-tune the whole picture.
Exactly. And we've all had those times, right, where we're trying to say something and the words just don't quite come out right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or we use an expression.
Yeah.
And it just falls flat.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't convey what we really mean.
It's like we're missing that secret ingredient.
Yes. Exactly. And what we've learned today, I think, is that even those everyday expressions, the ones we use all the time,
right?
They have these hidden depths that we can explore and use to our advantage.
I think that's a great way to put it. It's like we've been given this toolbox full of these specialized instruments.
For refining our communication and expressing ourselves with more clarity and confidence.
And even a touch of creativity.
Absolutely. You know, it's all about being mindful of those subtle choices we make.
Right.
In our language, because those choices, they can really make a difference.
Think about it. We can ask for help in a way that makes us feel empowered.
Yes.
We can describe our feelings with, you know, with imagery and metaphors that really bring them to life.
That's right.
And we can even articulate those dreams that we have, you know, in a way that makes people want to listen.
It's like we've been given this secret code to unlock a whole new level of communication.
I love that analogy. And now that we've kind of cracked the code, so to speak, we can use these expressions to connect with people in deeper ways and navigate all those everyday situations with more confidence and authenticity.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important to remember that language is a living thing.
Oh, it is.
It's constantly evolving and changing.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to experiment. Play around with these expressions. See what works for you.
Exactly. And you know, as we wrap up this deep dive today, I want to leave you with this thought.
Okay.
Now that you've learned all these new tricks of the trade,
What
conversations are you going to start? How are you going to use these tools to express yourself more fully?
And to really connect with people on a deeper level.
That's all for this deep dive. Until next time, keep those conversations flowing and keep exploring the amazing world of English.
Bye, everyone.